Okay, hey everybody. Alrighty. Hey Yehuda. Hello Newmans. Hey Elliot. Alright. Oh, and Harry. Special treat. Okay, so we are going to begin with our discussion about Vayivarech David. So 2 weeks ago, we were on Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, and then we move on to Vayivarech David. Now, what we're going to focus on is the two sections of what I would call Vayivarech David, which is the actual psukim in Divrei Hayamim, which deal with Vayivarech David, and then the next paragraph, which starts off with, in the Ashkenazic tradition, Atahu Hashem Levadecha, which is actually a psukim in Nehemiah, which go all the way to Kimo Evan B'mayim Azim, and we'll spend a couple of minutes going through the psukim as well. So the first thing we have to note, as I just mentioned, is that Vayivarech David is really split up into two sections. There's the first four psukim, or five psukim, which are from Divrei Hayamim. This section of Divrei Hayamim, it's Perek Chav Tes, and it's psukim Yud through Yudalid. The focus of this section, if you look in the if you have a Chumash or a Tanakh with you, the section of Vayivarech David is in the middle. Again, it's Pasuk Yud, so it's the middle of a chapter. The section begins, the paragraph begins with David giving a bracha to Klal Yisrael. He's giving a bracha thanking them. Why is he thanking them? He's thanking them through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's thanking them for making donations towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash. We know that Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, but David amassed wealth on his own to use for the Beis HaMikdash, but he also was able to get more donors to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So if you go when you're up to, we begin at Pasuk Yud in the davening, but the truth is, if you look a little bit earlier in the Psukim in Divrei Hayamim, it says Vayisnadvu Sareha Avos Visarei Shivtei Yisrael Visareha Alafim Vehameos Ulasarei Melechas Hamelech. They all donated, all these leaders of tribes and officers, they all donated money. Vayitnu La'avodas Beis Elokim, and they gave for the worship of the Beis Elokim, for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Zahav Kikarim, Chameshes Alafim, Va'adar Konim, Ribo V'chesef Kikarim, Aseres Alafim, Menachoshes, Ribo V'shmonas Alafim Kikarim, V'barzel Mea Alaf Kikarim, V'hanimtza Ito, Avanim Nasnu La'osar Beis Hashem, Adyad Yechil HaGershuni. So they were giving, again, gold, they were giving silver, copper, iron, precious stones. These were all donated to the treasury. And after David sees all of the donations that poured in on behalf of the eventual building of the Beis HaMikdash, he says, Vayivarech David es Hashem le'enei kol ha'kahal. David blesses Hashem through, in the presence of the congregation, to say, look HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look how precious your people are who are prepared and are ready and have donated for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And in our Siddur, again, we only use five psukim. It's Vayivarech David es Hashem le'enei kol ha'kahal, Vayomer David Baruch ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael Avinu Me'olam ad Olam Lecha Hashem Hagdula Vehagvura Vehatiferes Vehanitzach Vehyahod Kichol Vashemayim Uvaretz Lecha Hashem Hamamlacha Vehamisnasei Lechol Rosh Veosher Vehakavad Melefanecha Vehatam Hashem Bakol Uviyadcha Koach Ugvura Uviyadcha Legadel Ulechazek Lakol Vehata Elokeinu Modim Anachnu Lach Umahalalim L'shem Tifartecha. So without translating the words, those are the five psukim. But in truth, the paragraph, this is not even the end of the paragraph. The paragraph continues for another five or six psukim, focusing on all the great things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, how everything is done through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We only have what we have because of what God has blessed us with. So that is the focus of the first half of the paragraph. And then we get to why am I moving this? I'm using this chumash. When we get to the next section in our Siddur, it begins with Atahu. So I mentioned earlier, Atahu is actually from the ninth chapter in Nehemiah. Either Ezra wrote Nehemiah or Nehemiah wrote Nehemiah, not exactly very clear. But One of the two most likely wrote Nehemiah. Anyhow, Nehemiah in Pasuk Tes, where Perek Tes in Pasuk, we begin at Pasuk Zion, where in this section of Nehemiah is dealing with a time of mourning. The beginning of the paragraph, which we do not read in Shul every morning, mentions on the 24th day of the month, this was on the day after Sukkot. So there was a mass demonstration of repentance. This was the time where Ezra was bringing the people back to God. They were reading the Torah for the first time in so long. So on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel gathered together in fasting and wearing sackcloth with earth upon them. So classic imagery of Avelim. They're mourning of the fact that they had forsaken God and the Torah. The offspring of Israel had separated themselves from all the other people, and then they rose and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. They stood in their place and read from the scroll of the Torah of Hashem, their God, for one quarter of the day, and another quarter they confessed and prostrated themselves before Hashem, their God. So this is the setup, the context for the prayer we recite every single morning of Atahu Hashem Elokim, which again, the theme here is this public penance. And what happens in the middle, and when we get to Pasuk Vav, which is where we begin, is Atahu Hashem Levadecha, Ata Asisa Es Hashemayim, Shemei Hashemayim, V'chol Tzvam Arts, V'chol Asher Alea, Hayamim, V'chol Asher Behem, V'yata Mechayes Kulam, U'tzva Hashemayim L'cham Yishtachavim. So that's the beginning of what we daven every morning. That section, beginning on Pasuk Vav, happens to be what the Levium started to sing. So as the Kahal were mourning, then at that moment, the Levium get up, and they scream out, Bekol Gadol. They scream out with a loud voice to El Hashem Elokehem, to Hashem their God. And this is what happens. Kumu Barchus Hashem. And how do they praise God? They praise God through this verse, Atahu Hashem Levadecha, which we say every morning. So in essence, what we have here are two different tefillos, which are very similar in the sense that they're both brachos. One is a bracha of David giving to the Tzibur for their donations to the Beis HaMikdash. And the next is the bracha that the Levium are giving to Klal Yisrael, not to despair. Now we're confessing, we're doing teshuvah, and we're going to start fresh. So, which fits in very nicely then with the theme earlier, with Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen. Again, we're focusing again on Baruch. As we mentioned, we have these Halalukas, which are words of praise. But Baruch is perhaps a higher level when we're blessing God as opposed to just the praise. We do Baruch every time we sanctify something. It's not, we don't say Halukah, we say Baruch Ata Hashem. So we have Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, which is one step above the Halalukas. And then when we continue with Vayivarech David, and then Atahu Hashem Levadecha is really right before that. Was this is the Kumu Baruchu Es Hashem. This is the bracha of what the Levium recite. In fact, it actually works out much clearer if you take the Sephardic approach to the second paragraph in Nehemiah, because the Sephardim do not begin with Atahu Hashem Levadecha. They begin in the Pasuk beforehand. The Pasuk beforehand states, Vivarchu Shem Kivodecha, we're going to bless your glorious name, Umiroma Malkol Bracho Sehila, which is exalted above any blessings and praise. So you see it, above Bracha and Tehila, Bracha and Halleluka, God's name is above both. And that's how we begin that section. So that would be a better segue, perhaps, where the first Vayivarach David is connected to Baruch Hashem Le'olam, and then Vivarach Hashem Kevodecha, which is connected to Vayivarach David and Baruch Hashem. That would be the better segue. However, and that's the Sephardic tradition. However, there is one problem with a potential problem with the Sephardic tradition, which is the following. I mentioned that this Pasuk, that they begin with the Pasuk before, which states, Vivarchu Shem Kvodecha. However, the Pasuk doesn't begin with Vivarchu Shem Kvodecha. Vivarchu Shem Kvodecha happens to be in the middle of the pasuk. The pasuk actually begins with Vayomru Halavim Yeshua VeKadmiel Bani Chashavnia Sheravia Hodia Shivanya Psachya Kumu Barchu Es Hashem Elokichem Min HaOlam BeAd HaOlam VeVarchu Shem Kvodecha UMeromam Al Kol Bracha USehila. So it's in the middle of a pasuk. So the question is, well, what's the big deal? So what is in the middle of a pasuk? Well, we have a rule, which is kol psuke delo pasku Moshe anan lo paskina, that any pasuk which Moshe didn't split up, we're not allowed to split up. So to use only a part of the pasuk, perhaps, is halachically inappropriate. So you have to explain why it may not be halachically inappropriate. This is, they're using it as part of tefillah, and therefore it takes on a new status. Or there happens to be an esnachta, so it's a pause, a break in the pasuk. So maybe at an esnachta, you are allowed to split it up since it's already so somewhat self-split based on the cantillation. So there are ways to get around it. So it's not perfect, but in the Ashkenazic tradition, perhaps that was taken into account, and we just begin with the next pasuk of Atahu Hashem Levadecha. So that is a little bit of the background to the two sections and the theme, how the themes fit. I'll get into that a little bit more. The truth is that I've just mentioned now how they fit into the earlier psukim of Baruch Hashem Le'olam coming off of the Hallelujahs. But the question then is, how does the next paragraphs fit in to what we say next in the davening? So after this section, the next thing we say is Shiras Hayam, which is Az Yashir. So how do these flow into Az Yashir, and then how does Az Yashir flow into Yishtabach? So when we get to Az Yashir next week, we'll deal with Az Yashir, but how do we bridge from Atahu Hashem Levadecha to get to Az Yashir is interesting. It actually works out nicely in the Chumash, in the Tanakh, because what's Az Yashir about? Az Yashir is Shiras Hayam. It's the song that Az Yashir Moshe Ubnei Yisrael, that's the song that they sang when they crossed the Yamsuf. So if you look now back into Nehemiah, I didn't focus much on Nehemiah yet, but in Nehemiah, we mentioned this is the Shiras HaLevim. This is the praise that the Levim gave to Hashem and to the Jewish people now that they have done tshuva, or they're in the process of tshuva, and now where they're not going to despair, they're going to sanctify and glorify God and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, what's the language we use? We mention that God, we mention, in contrast to the earlier psukim, the of Vayvarach David, which focuses on God's greatness, on specifically, when we come to Atahu, we focus on what God's accomplishments. What accomplishments are we referring to? Well, first we mention Atahu Hashem Levadecha. You are God. You're the only one. Then we have Ata Sisa Es Hashemayim, Shemei Hashemayim, V'chol Tzva'am Ha'aretz, V'chol Asher Ha'aleha Hayamim, V'chol Hashem. You created the heavens and the earth, the oceans. V'ata Mechayes Kulam, you sustain everybody. U'tzva Hashemayim L'chamesh Tachlim, everyone, all the legions of the heavens bow down to you. And now you are the Elohim Asher B'charta Be'Avram. You chose Avram, took him out from Ur Kasdim, called him Avraham, and you selected him to be the leader. And then we mention the Charos Imo HaBris, you did a Bris Ben HaBesarim, which you now have this connection to Eretz Yisrael, to the land, give them the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, and so on and so forth. Vateres Ani Avosina B'Mitzrayim, and then you also are the one who saw our suffering, our struggle, our oppression in Egypt. Ve'ezach Kasam Shemat Al Yamsuf, and you heard the screams and the cries by the Yamsuf, and you made miracles. What miracles are we referring to? The miracles not just in Mitzrayim, but also v'hayam bakata lifnehem, the ocean split in front of them, v'yavru b'soch hayam b'yabasha, they crossed the Yamsuf, And everyone else, they fell in the water like a stone in turbulent waters. They were done. And then we begin Az Yashir. Now it happens to be a perfect segue into Az Yashir because we mention specifically the Kriyas Yamsuf, and then we go into singing Az Yashir. The truth is, when you look at Nehemiah, the Shiras HaLevim doesn't stop after the mentioning of Kriyas Yamsuf. It then mentions about the Amud Anan. It mentions the clouds that protected them. It mentions Har Sinai. It mentions Shabbos. It mentions all of the man. It mentions all these different miracles that God, or gifts that God gave the Jewish people. But we don't have that in our davening. We stop after we mention Kriyas Yamsuf, and then that's the segue into Az Yashir. Now the truth is that Rav Amram Gaon, in his Siddur, actually doesn't have the psukim in Nehemiah. Because it almost sounds like the psukim in Nehemiah are really just a segue to connect it to Az Yashir. And in fact, if you look in Rav Amram Gaon, and even the Rambam as well, they have Vayivarach David, and they go straight into Yishtabach, which in many ways makes sense. In other words, if you don't have Az Yashir, you don't really need Atahu, since it's all connected. We're stopping at Atahu Hashem Levadecha, or till Kriyas Yamsuf. The whole point of it is to connect to Kriyas Yamsuf and go to Az Yashir. If you don't have Az Yashir, then you don't need Atahu Hashem Levadecha. So they went from Vayivarach David, in those five psukim in Divrei Hayamim, connected to the Baruch Hashem Le'olam, and then they go straight from there into Yishtabach. And there is a connection, as we'll see in a moment, between Vayivarach David and Yishtabach. But that's how Rav Amram Gaon did it. The Rokeach writes that initially it was just Vayivarach David, and then there was a later minhag to add on Atahu, and he says, and then a later addition to add Az Yashir. So it makes sense that Atahu and Az Yashir were brought in as this later addition. It was just Vayivarach David initially. But who added this into the Siddur, more specifically? The Tur doesn't give us a little bit of a clue. The Torah says it's a tikkun ga'onim. The tikkun ga'onim was to say Vayivarach David, Atahu, and Shiras Hayam. And that's our minhag, that we have all three. But according to Rav Amram Gaon, he skips Atahu, which makes sense because he also skips Az Yashir. You can't have one without the other. But if you don't have either of them, then that's fine. Then you go Vayivarach David into Yishtabach. Now, I mentioned a minute ago that there is a connection between Vayivarach David and Yishtabach. If we take away Az Yashir and Atahu, there is a connection, a unique connection between them. The Tur writes that there are 15 expressions of Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Vayivarach David as in Yishtabach. Now, the Tur also writes that there are also 15 forms of Shevach and Az Yashir, but we'll save Az Yashir for next time. So what are these 15 forms, expressions of praise in Vayivarach David? It's Baruch Hashem, Gedula, Hagvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, V'chashem HaMamlacha, Misnase, Osher, Kavod, V'ata Moshel Bakol, Koach, Gvura, Legadel, Lechazek. So you have these 15 forms of Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which will connect and correspond to 15 forms of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we'll see when we get to Yishtabach. So now we have a clear idea of what's happening in our davening, how we get from Baruch Hashem Le'olam to Vayivarach David, and then adding on a later takana of Atahu, probably still could be from the Gaonim, but it perhaps wasn't the initial one, Atahu, and then Az Yashir, which also we will deal with next time. Now, we do know that there is a custom to stand for Vayivarach David. I mean, that we do stand at when we get to Vayivarach David. Where exactly does it come from, and why do we do it? If you look at the new RCA Siddur, the new RCA Siddur just says, when you get after Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen, it says, stand. When you get to the old RCA Siddur, It's a little more specific, and it says, one must stand from Vayivarech David until after the phrase, Atahu Hashem HaElokim, which means that when you go from the Divrei HaYamim and transition into Nehemiah, so towards the end, before V'charas Imo HaBris, I believe, we say, Atahu Hashem Elokim. Yes, Asher Bacharta Be'Avram. So after those four words, Atahu Hashem Elokim, then you sit down. Why exactly would you sit down at this point? What's the significance? So the Arizal writes that Atahu Hashem Elokim, the Roshei Tevos of each of those four words of Atahu Hashem Elokim spells out Eheyeh. Eheyeh is one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names, and since it's one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names, clearly that reflects on the entire section, so we should be standing for this entire tefillah. And then at that point, the Arizal was makbid to sit, because there's no reason to be standing here. You only need to stand on Devar Shebe Kedusha. So Eheyeh was like a Devar Shebe Kedusha, so even before it is connected to a Devar Shebe Kedusha, but afterwards you sit. Yishtabach, his custom was to sit. The Sfarda custom is to sit. I believe until Ato Hashem Elokim they would stand and then sit afterwards through Yishtabach. But I mentioned to you a moment ago that the old RCA Siddur, it states that one must stand from Vayivarech David until after the phrase Atahu Hashem Elokim. Now, when it says one must stand, that's a little harsh because we're really dealing with a minug. There is no obligation to stand. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's a minug to stand, it's a rashus to stand, you don't have to. But here the old RCA Siddur, you must stand. But then it adds on another piece, which is, however, there is a generally accepted custom to remain standing until after Baruch Hu. That even though, technically, based on the Arizal statement, you only stand until Atahu Hashem Elokim, there's an accepted custom to stand until after Baruch Hu is completed. So, that does happen to be our custom. But the new RCA Siddur just says stand until after Baruch Hu. That's it. The old RCA Siddur gives a little more information, more technical, but perhaps when it gets very technical, maybe it loses something. I'm not sure what the cheshbon was for the editors when they decided what to write or not. We'll have to ask them. One of the commentaries here in the new RCA Siddur gives us an additional reason as to why there is a custom to stand for Vayivarech David. We mentioned before this idea from the Arizal that when you get to the pasuk in Nehemiah of Atahu Hashem Elokim, the Roshei Tevos are Eheyeh, which is a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is almost like a Devar Shebe Kedusha, and therefore you're supposed to stand. Here, the Rabbi Soloveitchik is quoted based on a Mishnah in Bikurim. The Mishnah in Bikurim states that when the people would bring their Bikurim to Yerushalayim, people would stand up for them in praise of the mitzvah that they were doing as they're walking down towards the Beis HaMikdash. So he wrote that here too, because at this point in the davening it was customary to collect tzedakah from those that are present, we stand in honor of those who facilitate the mitzvah. Very cute idea that there is a custom, the Arizal says, and Mishnah Berurah actually quotes it, that when you get to the words, V'atam Moshel Bakol, there's a minute to give tzedakah. Why is there a minute to give tzedakah in Vayivarech David at all? Well, that we can connect to the theme. Why was David giving a bracha to the Kahal, or to Hashem, Le'enei Kol HaKahal, because they gave donations to the Beis HaMikdash. So it makes sense that in this paragraph, when we're reading the bracha that David gave, thanking everyone for giving tzedakah, that we give tzedakah now at that point too. Why specifically by the words V'ata Moshel Bakol, which by the way the Arizal is quoted as giving three prutas. Maybe it's connected to each three words V'ata Moshel Bakol. The why there? So I assume that V'ata Moshel Bakol is the ultimate form of sublimating ourselves before God. When we declare you rule over everyone, that means we are nothing. We are your humble, devoted servants. And at that point, what better time to give tzedakah than at that point by saying, yes, everything that we have is yours. We are we sublimate ourselves to you. That's why I assume makes Vatamoshel Bakol those words that make it the ideal place to make the to give the tzedakah. So Rabbi Soloveitchik writes that when it comes to standing for the entire paragraph, it's connected to, it's actually connected to tzedakah. So since the theme of the paragraph is tzedakah related, and we give tzedakah, that's why we stand, because we stand for those who give tzedakah. That's Rabbi Soloveitchik's idea. But that if that was the case, then we only would need to stand for Vayivarech David. We wouldn't need to stand for any of the pasuk in Nehemiah, any of the psukim in Nehemiah, and neither for Az Yashar. So even Rabbi Soloveitchik has a very nice idea about why we stand. That only works for Vayivarech David. It doesn't work for the next section. At least the Arizal's idea connects us to Nehemiah. You still have to understand why we're standing for the rest of it, but again, that is our custom, to stand for the entire section, Vayivarech David, all the way through Baruch Hu. Okay, the just to spend a couple of minutes here understanding the text. The text itself begins with Vayivarech David es Hashem le'enei kol hakol. So David blesses God le'enei kol hakol, to the eyes of the kahal. What's the difference between le'enei kol hakol or lifnei kol hakol? So Rabbi Shwab talks about le'enei kol hakol sounds like only the ones that are closer, as opposed to lifnei, which means those who are anywhere around, they're just before them. I would have thought actually the opposite, that le'enei kol hakol means not just to the eyes who you see, but in their eyes, meaning you don't have to actually see them. Lifnei means they're standing before him. But okay, so that's something to discuss. Le'enei kol hakol or lifnei kol hakol, what's the significance or the symbolism behind using that word specifically as opposed to lifnei? But the bracha that David HaMelech gives is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Blessed are you, the God of Yisrael. Who's the God of Yisrael? That's Yaakov. Why is the emphasis on Yaakov? What about Avram and Yitzchak? They're not good enough. David HaMelech is only giving a bracha in the name of Yaakov? What's the significance? So here, the Radak writes that, you know what? In truth, Yaakov was the first person to begin the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And if Yaakov was the first one to begin the building of the Beis HaMikdash, then what better of our avos to invoke, or the only av to invoke, is Yaakov, who was involved in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So you say, building of the Beis HaMikdash, what are you talking about? Yaakov, Beis HaMikdash? Well, if you remember the dream, Yaakov says, Ein ze ki im Beis Elokim, v'zeh shara shamayim. This is the Beis Elokim. And what do we know what David did by Beis Elokim? He had an Evan. And Evan was there as a Matseva. The Evan Azos, asher samti Matseva, yihye Beis Elokim. So you see, Yaakov then had some involvement in the preparations of building a Beis HaMikdash. You see, you put a stone, you are connected to the Beis HaMikdash. Or you give tzedakah to the shul, it's like you built the shul, you're connected. So that Yaakov did his part. So that's why the Radak writes that David invoked Yaakov as opposed to Avram and Yitzchak. And then we get to the references, the Divrei Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lecha Hashem HaGadula, HaGvura, Tiferes, Netzach, HaHod, Kichol Bashamayim Uvaretz, Lecha Hashem HaMamlacha, Pamisnase, Lechol Rosh, Ve'oshi, Ve'akavir Milfanecha, Ve'ata Moshe Bakol, Uviyarcha Koach Ugvura, Uviyarcha Legadel Ulechazek Lakol, Ve'ata Elokeinu, Modim Anachnu Lach, Umahalilin L'Shem Tevertecha. We give thanks to you, and we praise your wondrous and splendorous name. That is the Vayivarech David. And that is the focus. Again, the focus is on the attributes of God, his eternal qualities that are so dear to us and have enabled us to live meaningful lives because of that connection with him. And then we continue with, again, the Sephardic tradition, Vivarchu Shem Kivodecha, which is in the middle of a pasuk in Nehemiah. And then, or then we go to Atahu Hashem Levadecha. You alone are God. You made the heavens and earth. You created the world, everything about it. Avraham was given his name, and then Umatsas es levavo neman lefanecha v'charos yimo habris. Now there's one thing I wanted to mention over here when we get to v'charos yimo habris. V'charos yimo habris is in that Shir Halavim with Nehemiah, as we mentioned, because the last words are talking about Vayam Bakata Lifnehem, Vayabri Busochayam Biyabasha, Vesherfei Mishlachta Bim Solos Kmo Evan Bimayim Azim. So we're focusing on Kriyas Yamsuf. So Vacharasim Abris is connected to Nehemiah. But what's really interesting, if you look in the Sidurim, you'll note that they have different paragraphs. So it has Atahu Hashem Levadecha, and then the next paragraph is V'charos imo habris. Similarly, in the new RCA Siddur, you have U'matzas es levavo neman lefanecha over here, and then it says V'charos imo habris. It skips down a line. Now, why is it skipping a line? It's in the middle of a pasuk. Why would it do that? So that's something that the Magen Avraham already was bothered by, that for some reason we're splitting up the psukim within Nehemiah. And in fact, we have the dots where the Shliach Tzibur is supposed to make his end off the tefillah to begin the next section. Atu Hashem Elokim, we say Umatzas es levavo neman lefanecha is the end, and then we say V'charos imo habris, but it's really in the middle of the same pasuk. So that's why they try, like in the old RCA Siddur, they put this dash here on each side to show that they're really connected. And the new RCA Siddur, it kind of sort of connects it by leaving them sort of on one line after the next, but not showing that they're an actual separate paragraph. They put it the line below, but they start at the same area. So why is it separated? So here the Magen Avraham tries to answer. There aren't any great answers. The Magen Avraham suggests that there's a custom by a bris milah where this pasuk of V'charos imo habris, either until b'mayim azim, might be those five or six psukim, or maybe all the way through az yashir, depending on your different minug, it would be said responsively by the moel or the rabbi and the congregation. So he suggested maybe at that point when they would say it responsively, maybe they would split the psukim in halves. They would mechalik the psukim that way, and that's why it was split as such. So the charos imo habris was the congregation's perhaps time to respond, and the earlier one said umatzas es levavo before that. So unclear, but nevertheless. It really is all one paragraph, which again was all of this was a later addition because it was only Vayivarach David. This came afterwards. Atahu, V'charos, and Az Yashir were a later addition to the davening. So I think that's a pretty full overview of these two paragraphs. There, once you understand the significance of it, why people give tzedakah here, what's the theme, focusing on Kriyas Yamsuf, gives you a greater appreciation for what you do every morning when you're davening. So I hope everyone was able to enjoy, and next Monday, or find it meaningful, and next Monday we will begin or continue our journey through the Siddur with Az Yashir. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.